once more under the breach, dear friend.
Let's close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure.
I still think it's promissory to describe this as exciting.
I think it's very exciting, because at any moment in the next 2 hours, you could hear Jake or Jeff say something totally, terminally stupid.
Could. The probabilities may be higher than could.
That's what's exciting. I could say something stupid and be very embarrassed about it for a long period of time.
It's unlikely that we'll be embarrassed about it, though.
We do this every week. The whole issue of being excited, normally, is the anticipation of danger.
Which could be exciting for people listening to this program while driving. Because the anticipation of falling asleep while driving, while listening to this program, may be exciting.
Yeah, that could be, and I can see that. Well, by the way, we're supposed to take our clothes off at this point.
Disclose.
That's the same thing. Disclose. Which is to diss the clothes. No, okay. It is that the Personal Wealth Coach is the name of this radio program. It is also, not coincidentally, the name of an SEC-registered investment advisor residing in Salado, Texas, that manages people's money and for fees and does stuff like that. So now you know. And we have a caller on 773-1400. You are on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Well, maybe.
Do we have a caller on 773? Did you hang up?
Nope.
No, I'm there.
Okay.
Aha.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, we've been hearing about Greece going down the tubes for the last 3 years. It looks like it's going to happen. Everybody says it's priced into the market, but what do you think is going to happen short term and long term?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So you want us to, he wants us to prognosticate.
Right. Well, I'll be very quick and easy with this. This is something that I actually learned as a child.
Really?
Yeah. You don't put grease down tubes. It clogs up your whole plumbing. It's a horrible thing.
He may have really assessed the entire issue, grease going down the tube.
You don't do that. If you do that, your plumbing is going to be messed up from one end to the other. And that's what's happening in the Eurozone, is that they're afraid the plumbing's totally going to get messed up
if grease
goes down the tube.
And since the plumbers all worked for Richard Nixon, and most of them went to prison, and the rest of them have gotten kind of old and crotchety.
You're showing your age here. Yeah.
The one who stops the leaks, the plumbers.
Oh, yeah.
As far as Greek blowing itself up and departing the Eurozone, I think a lot of people in Europe, a lot of senior policy makers in Europe, have started to grasp that reality. It's been a fiscal reality for a long time because it's simply a fact. Greece cannot pay its debt back. It's just not possible. They could have a complete revival to the highest GDP they'd ever had, and they could take half of their GDP and give it to their creditors, and they'd still need to borrow money to break even.
I said something last week that I think is appropriate here. If they just did what the folks of Iceland did,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is say, we'll pay it all back.
But you've got to deposit in our banks.
But we'll pay it back into deposits in banks here.
Yeah, well, there's a problem with that.
And then when you withdraw them, there's a 39% tax on any withdrawals that you do.
You realize the Greeks were listening to our show last week, program.
I somehow doubt that.
No, I think they were, because what we've had during this last week is massive runs on banks.
Yeah, in Greece.
Greece, because they're afraid of and I'm serious. The probability was raised last week that Greece may have to put capital controls, which means there's a limit. You basically get paid if you take over so much out of the bank, you get hit with a 39% tax.
Right. Well, it's not the first time they've done that. The last time around that they did the extension, they confiscated a very large amount of domestic account holders' assets to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a tax that...
Well,
the Greeks don't really pay taxes. So they may have found a good way of getting the Greeks to pay taxes is that's just take it out of their bank accounts. But what it really does is it causes the Greeks to take their money somewhere else.
And so what we're having is about $1 billion a day withdrawal rate, net withdrawal rate from Greek banks. So the European Central Bank last week, and matter of fact, on Friday, had to break their own rules and loan, I think, 3.2 billion euros to to these Greek banks to keep them from becoming insolvent. But the rules, this is interesting, the rules under which they loan that money say that the bank itself must have assets worthy so that the money could be recovered. And there's some serious question right now because apparently the Greeks have also largely stopped paying back their loans to the local banks.
Well, why would they? The government doesn't have to pay its loans. No. Why should they pay theirs?
But I've discovered, this is something in research this week, listener, whoever was the caller, I should say. I was doing some really in-depth research on this, trying to figure out why, instead of trying to negotiate in good faith, the position of the Greek government, and specifically their prime minister, has swiveled around to forgive us all our debts or we're out of here. There was an additional provision. Forgive us all our debts. Loan us enough money that we can continue to run these massive deficits that we're running and promise to continue to loan us that money forever without paying it back or we're out of here. I thought, is this guy lost his mind? Because it will be devastating, at least initially, to the Greek economy. They're going to have, their banks are going to fail. It is going to be a real mess. That is the economic term for just short of catastrophe. And then I figured out why. On Thursday, shortly before the Greek prime minister made more bellicose statements, he was in Russia, in Petersburg.
St. Petersburg. Yes, they don't call it Petersburg there.
And he was meeting with one Vladimir Putin, who you may have heard of.
St. Vladimir. No, they didn't call him Vladimir Putin.
Vlad the Terrible, isn't he, or something?
Impaler Vlad or something Tepps, like that.
And they're shown shaking hands, both of them grinning from ear to ear.
Talking about a pipeline going through Greece. Yes,
and the pipeline will run through Turkey and Greece and supply natural gas to Europe.
What they didn't hear is the beginning of our radio program where we discussed the problems of putting Greece through the tubes.
Yes. Well, they're trying to stick a turkey through there first.
We're going to do Greece-Turkey pipes. And yes. That's a problem.
And so the other thing is that the...
There is a little bit of silver lining in the clouds there, though.
In the Greece-Turkey pipe?
Yeah. The amount of money that we talk about on a regular basis in economics in the United States is, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. We're talking about...
Trillions.
Trillions.
Yes.
When we talked about TARP, it was $700 billion. The quantitative easing together was somewhere in the vicinity of $4 trillion.
The deficit of the United States this year will be around a little over $400 billion.
Right. The debt that's owed at the end of the month is 1.6 billion euros.
Mm.
And
dollars and euros are at about a 1-to-1 ratio,
right.
Pretty close now.
That means that Bill Gates could pay the debts of Greece.
Out of his pocket change.
But if he does, then the Greeks will just get more debt.
Yeah. The issue is, though, that it appears that Russia has found a new source for a warm water port. It's called Greece.
That's something that is fascinating here, is that Russia is giving the ammunition to the government of Greece to refrain from making a deal with the European Union. And Russia's doing this consciously. I'm saying Russia. It's Putin. Putin is doing this.
And the Russians like it.
Very much so. They're putting a degree of economic instability into the Eurozone that shouldn't be there. If Greece didn't have the ability to go to Putin and have Putin say, $1.6 billion could come to you in increments if you do this, then he wouldn't be able to go back to the European Union and say, we're not going to do it unless you toe this line. So, and it may be, even after the handshake, it may be that the pipeline does not go through Greece. It may be that Putin just tells Greece, we're going to do this pipeline, and then lets the Greek government make the decision not to pay back the debt.
Well,
and that causes a slide. And that's kind of what he's done in Georgia. It's what he's with South Ossetia, is there's these loan programs that he sets up against the with the country that he's at war with, sort of. Just same way with Ukraine. Ukraine owes Russia many billions of dollars. And Russia plays with that by changing the letter of the agreement regularly by saying, well, now what we really mean was this when we wrote that. And what's going on, it's kind of the modus operandi, the MO of Russia right now is to present a front of being the great friendly bear and then not back it up because their economy is not capable of it.
This point, and we talked about in previous programs, that Greeks debts off without a change in the system somehow. There's going to have to be a change, and it's going to have to be pretty radical somewhere. And frankly, the Greeks are spending and have traditionally spent more money on buying votes than they get from doing business. And this is why historically and I went back and actually looked at this, about every 7 to 10 years, Greek has defaulted on its debts going back as to World War II.
Right. What needs to happen here? There is a solution, and it's a solution that requires new laws. When you have a sovereign country, a state, that is ruled by the same rules as other states, you have a confederation. And that's what the European Union is. And the Eurozone is like a confederation inside a confederation.
When you have, I think what you meant to say is when you have each state having its own rules, but they have an alliance, that's a confederation.
It's not just an alliance, though.
They're all ruled by the same law. Well, that's a constitution.
They are all ruled by the same unwritten law.
Okay.
And that's the problem, is that it's unwritten. There is a unifying rule that each of their laws has that deals with the European Central Bank. But the European Central Bank doesn't really have any power when it comes right down to making one-year type decisions. That's the extent of what they can do. They can't go any further. So their confederation is their weakness. They don't have a law that deals with bankruptcy. And you mentioned states in the United States.
Well, we don't have a law that deals with state bankruptcy.
Right. We are going to have to make these laws as well, because Illinois is going to go bankrupt. Pennsylvania is likely to go bankrupt. Both of these states.
New Jersey is headed down the same track.
Illinois will probably happen first. And Chicago is going to be the beginning of that, followed by the state. And Chicago is much worse off if you look at debt to tax revenue ratios than Detroit was. And Detroit was a basket case. Chicago is so they don't even have the wicker for the basket. They're just a case. They're just out there. That concept of dealing with bad decisions by governmental entities when they use debt is something that we need to deal with. It's what the Bank of England was developed to prevent. It's what the Federal Reserve was developed to prevent at the federal level. That at some point, the lumps have to come.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, this.
And they're called lump sums, by the way, at
yes,
that point.
Yes, the balloon notes lump sums.
Let me put a little, since we're talking about Greece. And I went back and studied what's happened with Greece since World War II. Russia attempted to take over Greece.
Yes.
Following World War II. And
that was in 1947,
We sent U.S. troops into Greece.
Yes.
This is one of those little footnotes of history. That
some of the first Green Berets to exist were in Greece.
And we went into Greece, and largely U.S. forces defeated largely Russian forces in Greece, and we installed a government in Greece that turned out to be a right-wing dictatorship. And then there was a revolution because they got too right-wing, and too much dictatorship and we're killing too many people, and the left wing took over, and then they bankrupted. This is what would happen through history.
You're right.
The left wing would take over. They'd go into bankruptcy. The right wing would take over. They would get too much dictatorship and cronyism, and then the left wing would take over, and they'd go back into bankruptcy.
It's been going on for thousands of years.
But the issue from World War II forward, the issue of Greece is who's going to control Greece? NATO, led by the United States, or the Warsaw Pact,
led by
the Russia. Soviet Union, Soviets. Which is now Russia. And we here in the far west, this side of the globe, really don't have a deep appreciation of the fact that the people in Europe have really, really, really long memories. They are still concerned about the fall of the Roman Empire and who's going to reestablish it. And it's kind of a driving force in their culture. And the Russians truly believe that they have the right to reestablish peace. As a matter of fact, the announcement by Vlad the Terrible, Vlad Putin, that he said this is not intended to be a threat. We're offering financial aid to the Greeks under certain conditions, and we will assist them. This is not intended to be a threat to the European Union. This is rather, and this is an interesting point, this is rather an attempt to show our unity and to unify Europe peacefully. Now, when a Russian says unify Europe peacefully,
it means this peace will now be mine and this peace will now be mine.
It means if we could just unify all of Europe under Russian control and domination, then we would have peace.
The Soviets, when they were moving into Greece, were looking at it as we have the same method of writing. Both use Cyrillic, and that's kind of close enough.
Yeah, that's they're close enough to being Russians. They properly belong in Russia, right?
Yeah. So I
and believe it or not, they believe that.
Yeah. As far as long term issues, I think the Greeks are more afraid of the Turks than they are of Russians, and that may be an issue because Turkey's economy is not doing badly. It's actually doing fairly well.
And there's this history between Greece and Turkey.
That goes way back.
That goes back, I mean,
Thermopylae.
It goes back millennia, and they hate each other with this passion that we can't even comprehend. And we look from the position of being here in the United States, and we think that if something is 100 years old, it's really, really old.
Right.
And they think 100 years is just the other day. So we don't really comprehend the deep machinations that are going on. Vladimir Putin, Madeleine Albright,
yeah,
made a very, very, very insightful statement about Vladimir Putin. He lives in a fantasy world,
right,
of czarist power and rule over Europe.
It's not fantasy.
Well,
she said it was a fantasy world, but he is making a reality in the area that he controls. It's like saying that Stalin lived in a fantasy world. He did, but not in the Soviet Union. It was the reality that he lived in.
And in Russia, by the way, they're rewriting history.
Right.
And so the history that's being taught in the schools is not what actually happened.
Madeleine Albright brought that up. She's Czechoslovakian originally. She's American now. She was the Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, and a fascinating lady. One of the cool things about most secretaries of states is that you don't have to worry too much about the political party that they're serving, because the foreign policy of the United States doesn't shift very quickly. It doesn't really matter if there's a Republican in office or a Democrat in office. The Secretary of State is probably going to say the same sort of speech as the one before. She laid out some of the stuff that's going on in Russia right now. Putin gave a speech earlier this year about the reason why the Soviets invaded Czechoslovakia. And the reason was that NATO was about to do a coup. That's the reason that what Putin gave in the speech.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely wrong. There's just no precedent for NATO taking over a country.
But it's taught
as
in
I'm
Russia,
going to
as
make
reality.
You part of NATO now by taking you somehow, as if NATO was a ruling organization rather than a group of countries. But that's what is being taught in Russia at this point. And it wasn't being taught that way 10 years ago. The school books have changed. which must be very confusing. That's got to be, I mean, well, our school books change, but.
You learn to toe the line. It's like Stalin's reality, you know. But the point is that the Greek issue is far more complex than it appears on the surface. And as to what's likely to happen, the problem with the Greek exit is as long as the Greeks are still playing the game and are part of the Eurozone and still pretend like they're going to pay the debts, then all the banks in Germany and France and everywhere else that have loaned money to the Greeks can pretend like, for the purposes of their balance books, that they're eventually going to get paid back. And believe me, it is all a pretense because, there's, like I said, there's just no way it's ever going to happen. It's one of those deals where the Japanese have done it for a long time, and that's why people think they can do it, but Japanese have a very homogeneous society.
Right.
In Japan,
most of their debt is held by Japan.
Right. There's debt. There's bank debt, huge bank debt in Japan. Corporations that are insolvent today are being kept alive by loans from the bank, and the banks then loan money to the corporations, and the corporations then pay it back to the banks as interest, and so they carry it on the books. It's called, these are called zombie corporations, and they're zombie banks.
Otherwise known as kicking the can down the road. Eventually, you're not quite quick enough to kick the can again, and you pass it, and that's not what you want.
So what we've got is Europe is trying to treat Greece like they're part of Japan, and they missed the point. The point is that in Japan, everybody speaks the same language, and they're very compliant and are very conservative, and the Japanese people are willing to endlessly loan money to their government and the banks by making deposits, and the banks can then loan the money to corporations that can't pay it back so they can pay them their interest, and it makes their balance sheets look good.
It really is a semi-feudal system,
right,
still.
But if the Greeks leave, all of those banks, all of those insurance companies, all of those nations have to realize the debt. They have to say, whoop, guess what? We just lost a lot of money. And not only will that put a real whammy on their earnings statements and probably on their stock market, but there's a second issue then that comes along where, for instance, the Portuguese are probably in the worst case right now.
Cyprus is going to go first, I think.
There are several other nations along the Mediterranean that are going through really, really unpleasant times with high unemployment rates and
massive austerity, debt to the European Union, the European Central Bank, and the IMF.
And if the Greeks get away with it, why wouldn't the Portuguese leave too? And by the way, with each of these countries leaving, banks in Germany, and I'm going to focus on Germany because that's the heart of this thing.
Yeah, there's some French
involvement. They have to realize losses that they can just kind of hope that somehow there will be a miracle and the economies will take off in these countries and they'll get all their money paid back. Extremely unlikely to the point of probable impossibility. But the issue is that if these countries leave the Eurozone in default, they have to realize those debts, and that possibly could put Europe in a depression.
Right. That's the big thing about Greece going down the tubes. If you look at it,
it isn't going to go down the tubes. It's going to get stuck.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to roar in really hot water or some acid or something. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's already doing that. The thing from a Greek-centric perspective, the problem with not paying back the debt is that they can't get new debt.
From Russia?
Well, they can't get new debt. Pretty much. They can't get big loans to pay for the things that they're doing now because people are afraid that they're just not going to pay it back. From the individual perspective, not from the governmental perspective, though, it means that they go back to the drachma, which is going to be nearly worthless, which means that all of the countries of Europe and the United States will be able to come to the tourist land of Greece and buy lots of stuff with dollars or with euros.
Right, right. And the drachma will be dirt cheap.
Right. And so from the perspective of a Greek citizen, it doesn't look too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not looking down the road at saying, how do we pay for the pensions of the people that have been promised pensions by the government,
how about
the equivalent of Social Security.
How about the people who are on pensions now?
Right. Those people
they're
already not getting paid.
Oh.
It's just stopped. And they're going back to a system that isn't too far from where they are now. A lot of Greeks have a big garden, and they have fishing vessels, and they're kind of moving back in that direction. That's what happened in Iceland. Iceland went from being the new financial capital to being a fishing and mining society again. And they're starting to move back towards the financial, which is a little bit scary to me because it didn't work so well the first time around. Without some of both, it doesn't work. So the Greeks are saying, all right, we'll just go back to the way we've always lived. The government's saying, well, I'm not going to get elected unless I can get some more debt so that I can pay all these pensions.
Right.
So you've got a dichotomy there where the people are saying, I don't want to pay taxes, but I want to reap the benefit of a nice pension that the government's promised me.
I think we've got this figured out.
Okay.
Vladimir Putin reestablishing the drachma becomes Vladimir Drachma. Drachma.
Oh yes, I see. I see what you're saying there. There's a little similarity in history.
Vladimir Dracula. I mean Drachma.
So where I'm going with that is, from the Greek perspective, this isn't an all bad situation. From the governmental perspective, they are not going to get reelected if the pensions start failing. But from an individual Greek perspective, they're saying, what could possibly go wrong with this? There's a lot that can go wrong that they're not looking down the road if they don't have money in the bank. All this comes back to a concept that's a little bit strange and hard to understand, and that is that money is worth what we think it's worth. And when we're talking about a system that is based in the confidence of the people around them, and they completely lose the confidence of everyone, you either have to completely recreate their financial system, or this is just going to keep repeating.
And they'll probably do that. Anyway, we'll get back to that and why Donald Trump thinks we're worse off than Greece after these important words from KTM sponsor. You are listening to The Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And we're back with more of The Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. Telephone numbers in here, 773-1400 if you're in East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400. Anywhere else within the sounds of our voices.
So we've pretty thoroughly beat up the Grexit.
Yes. Now I'm going to talk about acronyms. We're going to talk about PPPs.
Oh, boy, you really are going to raise the traffic accident rate
right
in the area.
We're going to talk about TPAs and TAAs and TPPs and all that fun stuff.
Okay. I'm listening.
There's a big trade deal. We talked about this a bit last week. We talked about it a bit last year. We talked about it a bit the year before that. It's been in the works since 2005. It is a long negotiated agreement between 11 countries with a couple more that are wanting to get on. And us. And basically what it is free trade. It's open up the borders and allow people to send their goods to us and our goods to them. And it's very effective economically. It's stirring growth. The Democrats have not been a big fan of the concept. The fact that it's been called Obama trade makes the Republicans think that it's some kind of Democrat conspiracy. But the reality is that it is a nonpartisan type situation. The Democrats don't like it because it interferes with union concepts, union pay.
The guy in the House of Representatives who's in charge of shepherding this bill through the House and making it work is Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
It is fully supported by the Speaker and by every major Republican. And it was a policy that is being pushed by President Obama. This proves, ladies and gentlemen, there is a God because we've had a bona fide miracle occur.
Okay, so I'm going to come back and say what the big problem with this is. The big problem with this is not the agreement. It's not the partnership. It's not the free trade. It's not the Democrats.
It's not?
No, because the Democrats don't have the votes to stop this if the Republicans were behind it. In fact, it's not even...
Well, they had to get 67 Democrats to vote with the Republicans to get through the House because Tea Party people didn't like
exactly. And this goes back to something. There is something very, very clearly happening here. And it's something that in the past I have given a free pass to this. Matt Drudge and the Drudge Report are actively stirring up a news storm for something that didn't have news before. It's like reporting on something to make it news so that they can report more to make a scandal where there isn't one.
That's the essence of news,
right?
Isn't it?
He's taking advantage of ignorance, though. Because there are three acronyms being thrown around. There's the TPA, the TAA, and the TPP. If you use those, and most people don't know what any of them mean, so TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Okay, that's the agreement that the countries will have. It's not being debated right now. That's mm-hmm. just this is what they've been negotiating for a long time. That's the authority to make the first step in the deal so that we can look at a written form that Congress can vote up or down on has to be passed first. So the authority, and it did, it got passed on Thursday, the authority for the president...
By the House, but not the Senate.
Right, the Senate still has to pass it. The authority for the president to say this deal, which was negotiated between 12 countries over 10 years... can't be changed. It can only be voted yes or no by Congress. Because if Congress changes it, the 11 other countries all have legislative branches too, and they'll all change it.
And then it won't happen.
It won't happen. So in order for any trade agreement or treaty to come through, it has to come through in an up or down vote. It can't be amendments thrown on there to affect internal taxes of the United States or adding this is or that, or the trade agreement won't work. So the authority, the authorization for the president to come back to Congress and say vote on this after you've read it is the thing that was up for vote recently. The Drudge Report doesn't generally write their own news stories. The news stories that they write are generally a paragraph long and filled with invective. His big claim to fame, the reason why the Drudge Report is as famous as it is because he's the one that outed the affair of Bill Clinton. The Monica Lewinsky scandal started by Matt Drudge. Now, the fact that it happened was the scandal, and so that it was good news reporting in a kind of tabloid-esque sense to talk about what was going on in a private situation. He's still doing that. He hasn't become anything but a compendium of other people's news and a tabloid writer himself. So when you have TPA, which is the authority to bring to Congress the agreement, and then you have TAA. Okay. The TAA was something to try to get Democrat votes, and it was attached to the authority to try to get the Democrats on board. Now, if you think about that just for a second, Matt Drudge is an extreme Republican. There's no qualms about that. He's extremely, extremely right-wing. Some people might say he's not extremely right-wing, when that just says how extreme they are. Matt Drudge reports with a definite agenda. His agenda is to create scandal that the people of the Tea Party will read and continue to send him advertising revenue. It's kind of, if you follow the money, that's where he's paid. He's paid from advertising revenue. And those of you that doubt this, try clicking on a link at the Drudge Report. It will open a... even if you try to get it to open in a separate window, it won't. The reason why it doesn't is because you have to go back to his website if you're going to read some more. So every time you do that, it counts as a hit on his website. And he uses those numbers to get his advertising. So recognize that he's paid for this. This is the same way that media is paid everywhere. But if you're listening to MSNBC, you know that there's a liberal lean. If you're listening to CNN, you know that they're trying not to have a liberal or conservative lean. They're trying. But any given story might be more conservative or more liberal. Fox News is going to be more conservative. The Drudge Report is going to be extremely more conservative. And if you're not aware of that, if you're taking it as if this is the only source of news, what you're going to find is that he doesn't benefit from good news. And if you dig down into the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, there really isn't bad news involved there unless you're extreme left-wing in a union and you're afraid that tariffs dropping on products are going to make you lose your job.
Well, I think it's interesting to get out of the grass here a little bit.
Uh-huh.
There is a very, very extreme left-wing blog called ObamaTrade.com.
Yeah.
That is trashing the Trans-Pacific Partnership and everything in the Trade Promotion Authority, which is what two of those stand for.
Yeah.
And the Drudge Report, which is on, in my opinion, the extreme right wing, is also trashing it.
Yeah.
So really, what it boils down to is the reason that President Obama is supporting this and pushing for it is for the best of the country and for the good of the country. And the Republicans in the House of Representatives recognize it, the majority of them recognize that. The only people who are against it are people who say anything that Obama does, I'm going to be against. And unfortunately, in many cases, I think our representative falls in that category. So what it boils down to is the trade agreement is, by every definition I can find, a good thing, unless you're extreme left or extreme right and want the whole country to blow up so you can have more power.
There's one more acronym I'm going to throw in there. It was the TAA. It was the Trade Adjustment Assistance. And it was thrown on with, originally, it got defeated. It was thrown on with the authority bill. The authority bill that would allow the president to go and bring back the bill to Congress to get an up or down vote. And basically, that was the pork being thrown to the union, saying that if you lose your job based on this new trade agreement, that the government will give you assistance. Well, the Republicans didn't like it, and not enough Democrats liked it to do anything. They didn't want to pass it. So what was passed at the House was simply the authority to bring back a bill. What Drudge Report and ObamaTrade.com have both reported is that Congress is expected to vote on the partnership without reading it. And that is, it's not only wrong, it is consciously wrong. It is a lie. We can't read the partnership yet, the agreement between the countries yet, because it hasn't been written yet. It has to be written first, and in order for it to be written, the president has to have the authority to say, I will bring this back and make no alterations to it, and we'll vote yes or no on it. But Drudge is saying that we expect our Congress to make a vote on something that nobody's able to read. And that's just absurd, and it's going right to the fear that the Tea Party has, that Obama is a dictator and he's going to take over the world. And they make revenue off of that. So do your own research. Contact your representative if you want to. But please do your own research. Don't just bite off wholeheartedly on one media source's take on what's going on. It's really a pretty absurd situation that we're in right now.
Well, we've got to do some more commercials. You are listening to KTEM and the Personal Wealth Coach, and we'll be back after these important words, I guess they're important words, from KTEM's sponsors. This is the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the telephone number is near 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. And I'm going to say this. You can say it, too, if you'd like. Ignore that last commercial.
That basically wants to sell you a bunch of life insurance on which...
He doesn't. He's going to sell you a book that will tell you where to buy the life insurance, and it won't be from him. It will be from someone else. That someone else wouldn't be allowed to say what was in the book, because it's illegal to say it if you're selling life insurance.
And
it's not illegal to say it if you're telling people where to buy it.
And there's a very high probability that unless you die in the very near future, and by the way, they won't insure you if you're likely to die, that you will ultimately lose a lot of money on that deal. So just be aware that life insurance companies are not nonprofit organizations. They are not backed by the FDIC or the federal government. And this guy wants you to put a lot of money in life insurance so that some life insurance salesman can become fabulously wealthy.
And he can too.
And I realize I just said bad things about commercials, which Lynn Wilde would get really upset about. But that's beside the point. That's a scam.
It is a scam.
And if they want to jump all over us for saying it's a scam, I'm sure we'd be willing to.
I'm willing to take that. My father-in-law brought me a big pamphlet on that exact thing, what was just on the radio. And I dug into it from every perspective, and my eyes just about popped out of my head. They've got governmental inquiries involved, but they're not breaking the law. There's freedom of speech. You're allowed to write a book that says anything you want it to say. I think that the conflict happens when you're allowed to write the book, and then you can say, this is the book, and then go over to my friend over here who's going to make a lot of money and pay me some of it. That's not cool.
Well, there's a couple of other things happened this week. The Dow Jones Industrial Averages, average was up 0.7%, which is actually pretty significant considering a lot of bad news was floating around about the Grexit, the evil Grexit that may rise up out of Europe. And in fact, one of the issues with the Greek exit is we really don't know what's going to happen if they pull the plug. And that's one of the things that makes people a little bit nervous. But the other side of that is the Federal Reserve had its meeting, and they announced that they weren't raising interest rates and that they were going to be very patient about it, and they were not going to raise them fast when they raised them. And so we got about a 50-50 chance that the Fed will actually start inching up on interest rates in a very insignificant fashion in September, and a 40% chance, or you got to consider that if they don't do it then there's a 60% chance actually in December when they meet. But it's not a big thing, and it's one of those things that everybody and their cousin is talking about. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're in what some people have referred to as the pause that refreshes. The S&P 500 year-to-date is up about 2.5%, and we're halfway through the year, or nearly halfway through the year, which means that we would see about if it just kept on doing what it's doing, about a 5% rate growth for the year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is only up about 1% for the year. This is probably making some people a little bit uncomfortable, and that's not terribly unreasonable that you would be uncomfortable with that. But this is one of those issues in a bull market when we transition from recovery to expansion. We typically go through a period very much like the one we're going through right now. There's nothing really unusual that's happened. The other thing that I think should calm fears is that the news media concerning finance and concerning the markets is very, very distraught, wrought is probably the best term, over the Greek exit and the possibility that interest rates will eventually be raised, as if that's just a possibility. Anything that we worry about that much in advance is almost certainly not an issue, because we recognize that it's coming, the institutions recognize it's coming, and they prepare for it. It's kind of like Y2K, the Y2K disaster that was supposed to hit us that didn't happen. Actually, it's actually more like Hurricane Bill.
I wouldn't quite compare it to the Y2K, because a lot of money was spent on Y2K.
There's a lot of money being allocated right now against the possibility of a Grexit. A lot of people are holding large quantities of cash because of that. It will cause probably a short-term fear, and then nothing big come out of it. I would say that when it came to the Fed raising interest rates, it's not like we're not prepared. And I think everybody and their cousin is prepared. There's going to be some issues if people who have floating rate loans, like most of the fracking oil industry, is going to be in for a shock. The dollar will rise, which will make China happy and Japan. There's a lot of things that we can look out there and see. By the way, the Swiss, despite their best efforts, still has a 10-year their 10-year bond. In other words, the equivalent of their 10-year treasury is still trading at a negative 0.75% interest. So it's just one of those very, very weird things. You have to pay the Swiss money to loan money to them. And they're fighting that, by the way. But it's still happening. So this is what's going on. And in the United States, there's something very much more important going on that doesn't make much news. The Labor Department came out with their unemployment and employment reports. One state over the last 2 months, one state in the union, and only one, that's South Dakota, has had an increase in joblessness. Every other state in the union, including notably Illinois and New Jersey, have had significant job growth over the last year and particularly over the last several months. These are the kind of things that when you get down to the local business level where people actually do the hiring and firing, this is where the rubber meets the road. The economy of the United States is continuing to grow. It is continuing to become more healthy. The growth is becoming deeper, and as I have said for the last several years, probably next year in 2016, it's going to be hitting on all cylinders, which is not going to make the Republicans very happy, because it's easier to run against whoever has the House or the White House obviously gets the blame or the credit for the economy. But right. But still, 2016 still looks like what goes on beyond then is up in the air, but it looks like a sweet spot. And for better or worse, we're coming near the end of the hour. There's some things I want to talk about next hour here on the Personal Wealth Coach. I want to talk about Rand Paul's budget proposal, which I understand Lynn Woolley got pretty excited about, and a whole series of other things to do with markets that might affect you directly.
Right. Yeah, I want to talk some about some of the figures that have come out economically about the United States. Some good stuff. There's some worrisome stuff. Most of the worrisome stuff is outside the United States.
And there's another issue that you can affect directly if you have the opportunity, and that is you can write our legislator, and you can, in doing so, you can tell him that you support the fiduciary rule. Just that simple.
Yeah.
Just write him and say, I support the fiduciary rule. We'll get into that next hour as to why that's important. He just voted against it, by the way.
Yeah, that's
so
silly.
I'd like to see him turn around on that. You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and if you'd like to contact us off the air, of course, on the weekend we have a voicemail, but during the week we have live people. You can call us locally at 947-1111.
You can reach that same voicemail toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us directly, and we use this information on the program, jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com, and listen to podcasts, read our philosophy, look at our ugly mugs. Until next hour, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.
Your Fox News station in Central Texas, News Radio 1400 KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.